tonight that I believe is a life-changing, helpful message if we'll listen to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter number 5, I want to encourage you tonight and keep you close to Jesus. I mean, the best place to be is at His side, right beside Him, walking with Him. There's a song that Mr. Albert Brumley wrote called "I Want to Walk as Close as I Possibly Can." And that's my heart tonight. I want to be as close to Jesus as I possibly can. I want you to look at starting verse number 5 of 1 Peter. And we'll read. And then we'll stop at verse number 8. Just a few verses. Verse number 5 to verse 8. Let's read. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And now let's pray. Father, we come before Thee, and we plead for help. Thank You that we have this book tonight. Lord, I pray the power of the Holy Spirit will take this book and may it come to life in our soul. And may it give eternal promises that we can cling to. I pray it help those that need it. I know I need it. Help us in a real way, a personal way tonight. Get the victory that You want to do. I know You don't need me. But God, I need You. And so I pray tonight that You would empower me and do me from on high. Fill me with that blessed power of the Holy Spirit. The unction that lives in me, may He preach through me. And I pray everyone will give strong attention to this passage. In Jesus' precious, wonderful, holy name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And now tonight, as I preach, I want to do my best to preach just like it was you and me. I want you to pretend that it's just us two. How y'all doing? Doing good? It's just us two. And I want to preach to you and give you something very practical, very helpful, that many times we don't use and we miss. There's a reason why people get bitter. There's a reason why people buckle under the pressure of life and they get bitter, they get angry. It develops into all kinds of surface issues, surface problems. She's always angry. He's always upset. She's always negative. He's always depressed about life. There's a reason why there's surface issues that we see, surface problems. And it always lies deeper than the surface. It goes deeper. It goes to the roots. Root problems. And root problems are always brought about by root causes. Something happened in your life and you did not deal with it properly. When that thing happened, it began to develop a root. And you didn't handle it properly. You did not do what you ought to have done. And so it turned into that root and then it sprung up. And in the surface of your life, you've got all this mess. Understand that the Bible teaches us tonight in the book of 2 Corinthians about strongholds. There are strongholds in people's lives. Strongholds are sins that have you. They've got you. You feel defeated. You're always getting whipped by this stronghold. Some people, the stronghold is bitter, is anger. We'll say anger. And man, they're always angry and always upset. Quick to say something they shouldn't say. I mean, always negative and looking to pick a fight almost. Well, that's a stronghold in their life. And you know you got a stronghold if I was to ask you. I said, "Sir, ma'am, tell me what sin is in your life you feel like always whips up on you." And that's a stronghold. But strongholds, they come because of roots. Stronghold is what you see. But the root is always the problem. And I want to help you tonight on how to make sure you don't have those root problems. I want to preach just for a little while. Let me give you a title on being humble enough to take it to the Lord. Being humble enough to take it to the Lord. We all will admit that there's no way we can face the world, face the problems in our home, face the problems in our marriage, without this thing called grace. Amen? I think my tie's still kind of messed up from this morning when I got real comfortable. Amen. Almost went that way tonight. Just give me a stool, all right? And I'll sit down and have a talk with y'all. Well, we are having a one-on-one session. And so every one of us, we'd agree. If I was to ask you again, we're one-on-one. I said, ma'am, sir, do you agree that you need grace in your life? You would say, yes. I'm here to tell you, you've got to have grace. And I'm also here to tell you somebody, this makes somebody say amen. I'm here to tell you that His grace is sufficient. Amen. He said, my grace is sufficient. I mean, no matter what you're going through, no matter if it's depression, heartbreak, illness, thorn in whatever flesh part you have, His grace is sufficient. His strength in our weakness, and in our weakness we see His strength and His perfection and His power and how He helps. We all agree, you've got to have grace. I know people in life that will go through tragedy and they get angry, they get bitter, they allow root problems to start. I'm going to tell you the reason why the root begins is because they do not have grace. Does God give grace in the areas you need? No matter how you live, will He give you the grace to handle it? Think about it. Well, I know His grace is constant. I mean, I'm living right now because of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. I'm saved by grace. I walk by grace. I'm living. I've got legs tonight because of grace. But not everybody receives the grace that God wants to give them. You can walk in some believer's hospital room and you'll find families that are going through tragedy saying goodbye to their loved one. And at the bedside, instead of weeping, they're singing, "There's a lamb that is fairer than day." And the hospital is having an uproar. Nurses are walking by and they're listening to this family around the bedside of this loved one about to die. And they're singing, "In the sweet by and by." And they scratch their head and they say, "How is that?" You can also go into another believer's room where somebody's lying on their deathbed and they're crying, and some of them are even getting upset, and somebody's kneeling saying, "God, I believe in You, so please, my faith, heal this daddy of mine, or God, I don't know if I can ever believe You again." Well, what's the difference? One family is accepting the grace that God wants to give them, and another family is not. There's things in our life, you listen good, this is so good, this is so good. There's things in our life that we will go through that is caused by the evilness of sin around us. Sometimes a family member gets in sin. Maybe a child one day of yours wanders in sin, and the heartache and the heartbreak seems overwhelming for you. Or maybe one day you find out that your spouse has not been the believer, the one that has acted so strong, they're not really the Christian you thought they were. And those skeletons in the closet come out. And now, because of the evilness of sin, you're going through some things. Well, how are you going to accept it? How are you going to face it? How does a mama that's got a prodigal son stay faithful to God and keep trusting Him? How? How does a daddy that's got a daughter that's having a baby out of wedlock, how does that dad go on with his life serving God with the joy of the Lord? And any one of us can go through it. Sin's not a respecter of anybody. And the devil wants to ruin every home. And everyone's accountable to God. And even with a good, godly mom and daddy, if the devil has his way in a child as they get older, well, how are you going to go through it? You going to get angry at God? You going to get bitter at the Lord for what's happened in your home? God, my husband. God, my wife. I thought she was this kind of a woman of God. And I've been true to you. I've been faithful to you. Why is my children the way they are? Why did my son die in that car wreck? Why has my wife got cancer? Why is my husband sick? Why did my child get paralyzed? It can happen to anybody. It's happened to some in this church right now. Sit down with the White family for a little while and you'll find out that they had to bury their 2-year-old son. You'll find out that there's families that go through these tragedies and you could be a part of it. I'm here to tell you that sin is evil and the curse of the world and we're going through a fight and no matter what's going on, you better be ready to know how to handle it or you'll become bitter. I'm grateful that we have the Whites in our church. A great testimony by God's grace. Amen. They have 5 children. But we see 4. But they got 5. Amen. And what great grace that God's given a family like them. Some families that go through tragedy like that, they break up. I know in my wife's family, my wife, she can testify of family members that I've met that because a little baby died when the daddy said, let's leave and let's go out. We can trust a babysitter. And that baby died. It turned into destruction. And the wife said, I don't want to have anything to do with you really anymore. They grew apart all because of the tragedy that was in the home. Well, how are you going to take this? I want to help you. Look what it says. Verse 5, of course, the opening part of the chapter is dealing with the elders, the leaders in the church, and feed the flock of God. And verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. But then he gives a parenthesis, if you want to say it that way, about what God could do in everybody's life if they'll be humble. The Bible says, yea, all of you. Let's forget talking about the younger. Let me give you something special, God says. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Before I get to verse 7, I'm going to skip it and go to verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. By the way, I'll point out he's as a roaring lion, but he's not the lion. Jesus is the lion. The devil's always the counterfeiter. He can only try to be like God. He'll never be God. As a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now watch this. You know what the devil does? And his demons? They seek who they can devour, who they can wreck, who they can get bitter, who they can throw fiery darts in the home. Hey, they're... You mark it down. When you see a heartache, when you see a family get split up and you see some kind of nastiness that takes place before your eyes, you mark it down. There was no explosion. Homes don't explode. They burn ever so slightly. until it's a flame. And the devil throws fiery darts. No such thing as explosions. Nobody falls in deep sin. People slide, stumble, and go into deep sin. It always started a long time before we saw it outwardly. So understand this. The devil is your adversary. It said your adversary. That means put your name where it says your. The devil, Kyle's adversary. He don't like you. Your wife loves you, but he hates you. He'll love you. He hates you, Brother Desi. He hates my daughters. And he hates me. And he hates you. You. Your adversary is the devil. And he seeks whom he may devour. That means you. If it says who he may devour, that means he can only get those that have allowed him the chance. How about that? Whom he may devour. He can devour anybody he wants. He can walk up to a strong, believing, born-again Christian. He can only walk up to those weak ones. Those that in their weak moment, he knows how to get you down. He's seeking whom he may devour. And please, boy, this is so good. Let me ask you a question. Are you humble? I'm not talking about false humility. Brother, I'm so humble tonight. I walk like this, so close to the ground, humble. I don't even say humble, call me humble. I keep the H out, brother. I'm humble. I'm not talking about false humility. By the way, if you got to tell somebody you're humble, watch out. That's always a bad sign when you got to tell people you're humble. I know there's one person, and every time he starts to tell me something, he always says this statement. He says, well, in my humble opinion. My humble, that's not your humble opinion. You don't got to broadcast humility. Amen? Jesus never walked in the room and said, everybody, I'm humble today. You knew he was humble. Humility. Be careful about false humility. But here, let me ask you a question. Those that go through heartache, those that are going through tough times, you become weak. The devil, your adversary, he'll come and get you. Let me ask you something. Do you have grace in your life to go through your hard times? He said that he resisted the proud and he gives grace to the humble. That family, in their time of need, they need grace. That's what they need. That's what helps you. Grace. Well, how do you get it? If you don't have humility, you don't have grace. If you're prideful, you are resisted of God. God will not give you grace. So let's have one-on-one talk a little bit more. How do you know if you're humble? You ready? I got the answer. I'm going to show you true humility tonight. Everybody ready? Test yourself. Am I humble? Here we go. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Okay, preacher. Sure, I get that. Well, how do you know? He tells us, ready? Here's how you know if you've humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God. And by the way, that mighty hand of God wants to give you grace. That mighty hand of God wants to give grace that's all sufficient. That mighty hand of God wants to pick you up when you're down and help you and get you through this tragedy and get you through this time. Well, how do you know if you've humbled yourself? Well, here you go. Verse 7 is the answer. Let's see how humble you are. Casting all your care upon Him. Are you humble? Do you take your life's problems to God? That's the test of humility. You're a mighty prideful person if you haven't asked God to help you. You think you can get through the day without God? You think you can get through tragedy without God? Are you kidding? You're full of pride. You think God loves His children to be so full of themselves that they don't even ask for help? You think you can walk across the highway of life without God holding your hand? You think you can go through the traffic of life without God holding your hand? Prayerlessness. Humility is the believer that says, "Dear God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this today. Help me, God. I cast it upon you. I can't do it." God says, "Well, here's you some grace. Thanks for humbling yourself under my mighty hands." And then you're not subject to the devil. You know why people get bitter? Because they don't go to God. You know why people are bitter? Because they get angry at somebody and they have vengeance in their heart. They don't go to God. They let it sit and sour in their heart. They don't go to God. They don't talk to God about it. You know what I'm talking about. You get out of the way. You get all ill in your heart and you close your prayer closet to God. You might come to church and act like you're walking with God. You know what I'm talking about. Well, you're prideful. Humility. It's giving it to God. You say, "They hurt me." Give it to God. You say, "He let me down." Give it to God. Then you get grace. Grace to go through it. And you won't be subject of the devil. Ask yourself, am I humble? Have I casted my care upon the Lord? Let me give you some help. One-on-one counsel. Preaching counsel. It's just you and me tonight. Do you look at somebody and get angry? Do you think about thoughts about somebody and it gets you upset? Is there a name that I could bring up or a situation I can talk to you about that bothers you and you don't want to talk about it? I got news for you. You've not given it to God. And you're prideful. And therefore, you don't get grace. Bitter people don't get grace. And yeah, there's times you got to fight it, but you got to keep casting it. "Oh Lord, I'm upset again. I'm going to come to you again." You know, it'd help us all if we learned what it was to bend the knee. Bend the knee. Get in your prayer closet and bend your knee. If I was to ask you to stand up tonight, if you have bent your knee last week, would you be able to stand up? I'm not talking about your little praying and walking, and I'm glad you pray and walk. You ought to pray without ceasing. And I'm not talking about praying and driving. I think you ought to pray and drive. God help your prideful heart, and God help my prideful heart, if we think we can live in this life without getting humble enough and bending the knee and getting alone with God and showing God we're serious about Him meeting us. I wonder who would stand up. I said, stand up, those that bent the knee. Stand up. You say, "I'm weak-kneed." Yeah, you tell that to James. James in the New Testament, he was known as camel knees. He prayed so much, he had camel knees, calluses on his knees. You say, I'm a little bit old. Well, you tell that to Dr. Tom Williams. He's 80 years old, and every time he prays, he makes sure he bends the knees. I don't care what your condition is, unless you're laying on your back somewhere, every one of us, with God's help, it always blesses me when I see Sister Bertha get on her knees. If she can get on her knees, so can you and me. And then everybody else has got to grab her to help her up. Amen. And you know she don't like that. Excuse me, I can get up myself. Amen. Amen. I hope I have that little in me when I get that age. Amen. I got it. Amen. Check your humility out. Oh, preacher, you don't have to get alone and bend your knee. Well, okay. That's what you want to think. You go ahead without that great grace that God could give you. There's something mighty humbling about getting on bended knee. Mighty humbling. Just get on knee. "Lord, I sure do need you today. You know what I'm fighting in my life. Lord, you know the battle I'm going through, and I'm hurt. And so God, I'm just trying to give it to you. I don't even know how to do it, but God, I'm trying. Help me." God says, "Yeah, that's what I need. And here's you some help." See, grace is something we can't comprehend. But when we're living in the realm of grace, it's amazing how we behave. But only comes to those that are humble. Humility. When was the last time you bent your knee? When was the last time you took your problems to God, casting all your care? You know what all means? Everything. As one person said, all means all, and that's all that all means. It means everything. Cast it. I'm upset with my husband. Cast it. I'm upset with my wife. You better cast it. Lord, I'm disappointed for how you responded in my prayer request. Well, you better cast that too. Casting. Casting. Lord, I'm hurt. Cast it. Get along with God. You won't make it. Look right here. You won't make it. You'll be somebody the devil's going to devour. And through the process of time, look right here. You're going to wake up and you'll be a monster. And people won't want to be around you. And you'll have strongholds in your life that you can't get victory over. And you'll wonder, why in the world I'm the person I am and why can't I have some victory? It's because you're not humble. And you know if you're humble because if you're casting all your care. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you sought for grace? Now, grace is not something you have to pray. Everybody listening? You don't have to ask God for grace. God giveth more grace. That's not a prayer request. Just be in the position, be in the place to receive grace. You don't have to ask God for grace. You just have to give Him your cares and be humble, and then He pours the grace on you. Grace is not something you have to ask Him for. Grace is somewhere you are, and then you get it. Grace and peace come with God. And if you can humble yourself before God, and look, it just makes sense. I'm going to get under His hand. I'm going to have to get on my knees. You just humble yourself before God with your trials. And then God gives you the grace to face your heartache. Face your trial. I just want to help you tonight. I know families and people, they get all out of whack. And then I know people that go through great heartache that are doing just fine. What's the difference? One's got grace, one's been resisted. One's subject to the devil, one is subject to God. Well, how did they get that way? Because one casted all their care and one kept it to themselves. You know, and you need to know this because we're in the day and age of technology. So you need to realize that all your Facebooking and all your emails and all your texting for people to pray for you don't mean a thing if you're not going to do it. We'll spend so much time telling people, help, pray for me. Posting little cute verses, and I'm glad you put verses on Facebook, but if all you do is put verses and ask people to pray for you in your heartache and you don't get on bended knee, you're missing the grace. God wants to do it for you. God wants to help His children out. He sure does. I try to tell my little girlies, if you just asked me, I could have got that cup for you off of that high shelf. You didn't have to get a stool and climb up to your death and tiptoe through the counter and hop on one other side of the counter and stumble and almost die. You won't just ask, and I'll go up there and grab it. Any parent know what I'm talking about? Amen. That's how it is with the Lord. So I want you to think right now as we're closing. I want you to think right now. Have I been on bended knee? Have I given God my cares? My cares? Am I being humble to God? Now, I want you to be honest with yourself. You cannot get problems fixed with God until first you accept the problem. You've got to recognize your problem. It'd be good for you to just say, you know what, Lord? I've been prideful because I'm not giving it to you. I'm not giving it to you. God, forgive me and help me. Let's pray. All heads bowed, eyes are closed. As your head bowed, eyes closed, I promise you one thing. Every one of us, we've got to have His grace. And I promise you this too. There will come a dark, dark time in your life where you're going to feel very helpless. There will come dark times where you're going to feel really broken and hurt. And I pray that you'll be at the place in your life when that comes, that God's grace will sustain thee. But you only have His grace if you're in the place. You don't get His grace unless you're casting all your care. And praise God, He careth for you. I'm going to have Brother Desi come to the piano and play What a Friend We Have in Jesus.